Okay, so first I want to thank the organizer, Professor Ruth, to give me the opportunity to present my work here. And it's also a great pleasure to give a contribution talk in honor of Professor Sawyer. And today my talk is about the short estimates of a complex Mongerian pair equation. And this is based on joint work with Slawomir Deneau and Xi Zhang. And so my talk has four parts. First part is I discuss some motivation, why we want to study this kind of short estimate. And the second part, we state the main theorem. And the third part, I will give the rough idea of the proof. And the last part, I want to discuss some similar results on the complex manifold. Okay, so the motivation to study the interior short estimate for complex Mongerian pair equation first motivated from the zero case. So for zero Mongerian pair equation, for the interior C to alpha estimate, in 1990s, Cavallari gave the interior C to alpha estimate. So, oh, sorry, I've mistyped the. Let omega be a convex domain in Rn, and U is a convex solution. And the problem determine Uij equal to F, and F is positive, so this is a non-degenerate real Mongerian pair equation. And F is also alpha hot continuous for some alpha between 0 and 1. And he assumed U equal to 0 on the boundary of the convex domain, then he can get U is C to alpha inside of the domain. So this is the interior C to alpha. And the global C to alpha in 2008, Schrodinger and Wang gave the global version. And they considered the degree problem, determine Uij equal to F, also the long degenerate case. And U equal to some function phi on the boundary. And his assumption is phi belongs to C3, and F belongs to C alpha. And they can get the, they can get the C2 alpha globally, C2 alpha on the closure of the domain. And in their paper also, the C3 of the omega, C3 regularity of the omega, and also the boundary data is C3, this is optimal. So that's this is the about to just a motivation from real Mongerian pair case. And we also have some motivation from the problem of Keller geometry. So our compact of complete Keller manifold M omega, and this omega is some Keller form. It's just some Keller form, Hermitian form on the manifold. And we consider this Mongerian pair equation. So this Mongerian pair equation play very important role in many geometric problems. For example, the celebrated work of Calabi conjecture proved by S.T. Yao, and also the problem about the existence of Keller-Einstein matrix. And so in these problems, the regularity of the right-hand side F has good regularity. For example, in the problem solved by Yao, this F is, in some sense, you can see this is say infinity M, and so you can differentiate both sides of the equation. And but in some cases, the regularity of the right-hand side of the equation is not so good enough. For example, if this F is C alpha, so if this F is C alpha, so this kind of technique cannot work strictly. And so, for example, we consider this equation, omega plus I partial pi by U nth power. So this gives you a volume form. And on the right-hand side, you have another volume form. But this volume form is just a C alpha. It's a given C alpha volume form. Now, consider this Mongerian pair type equation. So how can you get some regularity for this function U? And we think this equation should be useful in the study of the uniqueness of extremal Keller matrix in a given Keller class. Okay, so for the complex Mongerian pair case, there have some already known results. So first the result is in 2000, given by Blocky. And the Blocky's result, he assumed this U in priori is C4 plurality subharmonic function. So this PSH means the complex tension of this U is non-negative. So assume this is C4 in this open omega. Sorry, as in this open omega, and assume that we have the C0 estimate, C0 bound, the C1 bound, and also the Laplacian bound. And if this F is Lipschitz, and he considered a complex Mungian pair equation, and he can get for any compact subset of the original domain, he has the C2 beta estimate, just the interior shoulder estimate. So in his case, he considered case F is Lipschitz. Now, in 2010, Xiuxiong Chen and Wei Yonghe, they under the same assumption. The only difference is they changed the assumption on F from Lipschitz to W1P when P strictly greater than 2N, and then they can get the interior C2 alpha estimate. Now we have a remark here. So both the results of Blocky and the results of Chen and He, their proof follows from the standard Evans-Krylov proof. They just notice in the standard proof of Evans-Krylov, they assume F is C2. But they just notice a weak version of Harnack inequality from the book of Gerald Bach-Schrodinger. And so they can modify the proof of Evans-Krylov. And so now for the case F is C alpha, alpha is from 0 to 1. This function may not be in any Sobolev space W1P. So you cannot take the derivative on both sides of the equation. So we cannot apply Evans-Krylov directly. Okay, so our main result is we consider omega to be a complex domain, and U is a private subharmonic function, and also C11. So we need, in priori, U is a C11, just means the first derivative of this U is Lipschitz. And we consider this complex Mungian pair, also non-degenerate case. And if F is C alpha, so we can have the short estimate, U is C2 alpha. So in some sense, this is it's a version of Kaplari's shorter estimate, but we have an assumption here, C11 estimate. So we have several remarks. So first remark, so if we replace the F is C alpha by another condition, F is Dini continuous. Dini continuous just means that this integral is finite, and the omega r defined to be the oscillation on this ball. And then we can get the U actually is C2. And so this part we explain why we need U is C11. We need assumption U is C11. So first, because the results of Kaplari and the Schrodinger Wang results, in real case, they depend on the convex analysis, a lot of tools in convex analysis. For example, the geometric property of the gradient image mapping, and also some good shape results for the convex set in real domain. But in complex domain, we don't have that kind of analysis results for the pseudo-convex domain. So that's one reason why we put the C11 regularity here. But there are still some remain problems. So we want to try to remove this C11 assumption, and we want to try to replace this assumption by Laplacian U is L infinity. Because you can see once we have Laplacian U is L infinity, this can already guarantee the complex Mungian pair equation to be an elliptic problem, to be a unique, uniform elliptic equation. So we want to replace this condition by Laplacian U belongs to L infinity. Can we replace this C11 by some C1 alpha for alpha strictly greater than 1 minus 1 over n. So this C1 alpha should be sharp, because if alpha less or equal than this one, and the Pogorelov have a counterexample show the short interior estimate is wrong. So we wonder whether we can get the optimal assumption here. But we still don't know, can we replace C11 by these two conditions. Okay, so the basic tools. So the main idea of the proof, because we have F is only C alpha, so we cannot take the derivative on the both sides of the equation, but we can use the perturbation argument. So, okay, I will discuss some several basic tools how to prove the theorem. So the first tool is Bedford-Taylor comparison principle for the complex Mungian pair equation. So omega is a domain. U and V be C11 and continuous in on the whole domain, and U and V are also priority subharmonic function. If they satisfy determine Uij bar greater or equal than determine Vij bar inside the domain, and U less or equal than V on the boundary of the domain, so we can guarantee U less than V on the whole domain. And actually, in the original statement of Bedford-Taylor, they only need the U and V are just locally bounded, but in our case, we only need the C1, we have the C11, so we only need this case. So the second tools is about the Bedford-Taylor interior second order estimate. So Bedford-Taylor interior estimate, so here B is the unit bool. So one key point of Bedford interior estimate is here they can only work on the domain when the domain is unit bool. If you cannot change this bool to be any pseudo convex domain, so they use the automorphism of the unit bool. So B is the unit bool in CN, and for any compact subset of B prime of this bool, we consider a continuous prime subharmonic solution of this complex Munjian pair equation. If the boundary data is C11, and the right-hand side is also C11, then we can get, actually, inside the bool, the solution is also C11. So this is the interior second-order estimate of Bedford-Taylor. And actually, this is the only reason why we need the assumption of the U belongs to C11. So if anyone can replace prove this interior estimate, for example, for Laplacian U, L infinity estimate of Laplacian U, so we can weak the condition here. Okay, so the last important tool we need to use is a local Calabi C3 estimate. So Calabi C3 estimate for zero case originally given by Calabi in 1958, and later for complex case, for global Calabi C3 for complex case was given by F.D. Yao and also I think Lindbergh. And these two authors, they gave the local Calabi C3 estimate. Just omega U is the priority subharmonic function and determine Uij bar equal to F, and they have the C3 estimate for this one. And we use this Calabi C3 estimate, we can get the optimal C2 alpha. Optimal just means that if F is C alpha, you can get the C2 beta. This beta can reach alpha. You can reach alpha. No, okay. So now we discuss the idea of the proof. Now, for omega double prime, it's a subset of omega prime, and it's also a subset of omega. We denote the distance of omega double prime and so to the boundary of omega prime. So it's enough to prove this U actually is C2 alpha in the omega double prime. Now for any fixed point in the double prime, we just fix this point to be zero, let this point to be zero, and we consider a system of balls around this point, around this zero. And now we consider a system of Dedekind problems around on this system of balls, and we consider the continuous priority subharmonic solution to this system of Dedekind problems. And now that we use perturbation, so originally it's Fz, so now we change this Fz to be F0 value at this x0 point. And now for this equation, we have a lot of good regularities. Now first, we can use the Bedford-Taylor interior C2 estimate. This is because Bedford-Taylor says if the boundary data is C11 and the right-hand side is also C11, then you can get the solution is C11 inside of the domain. Now, by our assumption, this U is C11, and this is constant, so we can get actually the UK is C11 on the ball. So now, because our equation is non-degenerate, so we can get the interior C to give you the upper bound. Now, because this is non-degenerate, so you have also the lower bound for the second-order estimate of UK. Now, this in some sense, this gives you a Laplacian bound, give you a Laplacian bound of the UK. Now, once you have the Laplacian, you can say the third-order estimate depends on the Laplacian bound of the U. So once you have the Laplacian bound, So you can use Calabi C3 estimate, and you can get, and also by rescaling, and you can get the C2 gamma bound for this UK is bounded by this way, and for any gamma from 0 to 1. And now we consider in a small ball, just a BK plus 3 in a small ball, because the right hand side of the equation, you think about this determine Uij bar k, and also the equation determine Uij bar k plus 1. The right hand side of these two equations are the same, also F0, so this is 0, and you do the linearize, and this gives you a linearized equation. So this Vk equal to Uk minus Uk plus 1 satisfies this uniform elliptic equation. And also the coefficient, because we have here by Calabi C3 estimates, we have the C2 gamma bound of Uk. So for the coefficient, we have the Hodder bound for this coefficient. And now for this linear uniform elliptic equation, we can use the standard Schroeder interior estimate for the linear equation. Now, by the Schroeder interior estimate for the linear equation, we can have the C1 bound for the Vk is by the C0 bound, and also C2 bound by the C0 bound, and also C2 gamma bound. This is standard Schroeder estimate for linear equations. Now we denote this omega fr to be the oscillation of fn minus 1, or 1 over n, or just f is fine. So if f is C alpha, so we can say this omega fr, if the radius of r equal to d zo k, this omega f just equivalent to zo k alpha. Now, by the comparison principle, you can say for this inequality, for the left half, so on the boundary of bk, z equal to dk, d rho k. So this part is just a zero. And on the boundary of bk, uk equal to u. And you can prove, actually, determinant of this part is greater than determinant of this part, because determinant of uk equal to f0, and you plus this part, so determinant of this part totally greater or equal than uz. And also on the boundary, they're the same. So by the comparison principle, you can have this inequality. Now for this part, you do the same thing. You just move this minus to this uz, and you also do the comparison. And so by this comparison inequality, so you can say u minus uk, you have the C0 bound by the red part. And then for uk, on the big uk minus u on the ball uk, you have the C0 bound. And you can also do this for uk plus 1. So now we have vk C0 bound by this way. So we have vk C0 bound. Now we can say we have vk C1 bound bounded by C0 bound. And so once we have the C0 bound for vk, so we can bound it the C1 bound and C2 bound and C2 gamma bound. And actually we can prove this UK0 at the point, UK0, DUK0, and D square UK0 is a Cauchy sequence. Because remember, Vk equal to UK minus UK plus 1. So this actually is a Cauchy sequence, and this sequence convergence. And actually we can prove this one convergence, UK0 convergence to U0, and the DUK, the first derivative convergence to the first derivative of U. And if the second derivative of U at 0 exists, and also the UK, D square UK convergence to D square U. And so now we, here the point, all the above discussion is only about the point around, we consider a board, system of boards around 0. Now, for any point X in the omega double prime, we can consider this, define this system, and the UK XX. This X is just, for this case, this X is just a zero. So we can define the first derivative WST and WST bar. And this, because this is convergence, so this function are defined in the whole domain of double prime. And actually, by these three inequalities, we can prove this WST and WST bar actually is C alpha. So this means because U is C11, so this means the second derivative of U exists almost everywhere in the double prime and equal to some alpha hold continuous function, because almost everywhere equal to WST. So by classical distribution theory, we can prove U is C2 alpha. So this gives you the short estimate. So we want to consider extending the interior C2 estimate to the complex manifold. So if the manifold is Keller, just means the d omega equals zero. When d omega is zero, so for this omega, locally we have a local Keller potential, so we can reduce the complex Moonian pair equation to be a local form. To write this to be a determined rho algebra plus u algebra equal to fz. And so we can say we can let rho plus u equal to some w, and all the above estimates work for this w. But for Hermitian manifolds, because d omega is not zero, so you don't have a local Keller potential for this omega, so you cannot reduce the equation to this form. So if we want to get the interior C2 alpha for on the Hermitian manifold, we have to generate some tools, generate the above tools to Hermitian case. The first is the Bedford-Taylor. We have to generalize Bedford-Taylor's interior C2 to Hermitian manifold. So the equation is omega plus this one. So we can get the same results. And the proof of this one follows exactly the proof of Bedford-Taylor. Just keep track of this omega. And also the local Calabi C3 to the Hermitian manifold. And we have the proof on the Hermitian manifold is more complicated than the Keller case, because on the Hermitian manifold, you involve a lot of torsion term. And the torsion term give you a lot of trouble. So this have a lot of troubles for the proof. Anyway, we have the C3 estimate. Now, once we have the Bedford-Taylor interior C2 and also the C3, we can prove for this equation we have the C2 alpha. Okay, thank you.